national news for week commencing June 8, 2025, in our 30th year of non-stop news. This week, just for something different, I'm Jason VK2LAW, stepping in for Graham, hosting the news. I'm hoping we'll have lots and lots and lots more in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia.
We are VK1WIA.
Australiana on the home scene, ACMA consults on remaking the CB class licence. ACMA are consulting on remaking the Radio Communications Citizens Band Radio Stations Class Licence 2015 CB class licence, which is due to sunset on the 1st of October 2025. Their view is that the CB class licence is operating efficiently and propose to remake it with minor changes. ACMA are also seeking views on the use of the three emergency call channels, HF Channel 9, UHF Channels 5 and 35, and the two data transmission channels used for telemetry and telecommand, UHF Channels 22 and 23. You can find full details on the ACMA website. Now, just before I continue, let's check the time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Every second counts at WWV.
Have you got a second? Well, it only takes a second, actually a few minutes, for this weird and wonderful story, which introduces an important new atomic clock that's been put to work at the official US headquarters of timekeeping in Colorado. Keep your eye on the clock, especially if you've been recording your QSOs, like the rest of us, in coordinated universal time. This new atomic clock at the National Institute of Standards and Technology has been operating since April at NIST's Boulder, Colorado offices. It'll soon have a bigger job as part of a group of timekeepers around the world that assists with the calibration of UTC. Known as NIST F4, the clock is still awaiting certification by the International Bureau of Weights and Measures before that can happen. Until then, its unprecedented precision is already hard at work defining the official time in the United States. Its creators call it a fountain of precision because the cloud of cesium atoms inside the clock oscillate at a rate of more than 9 billion times per second, rising and falling in the same way water does in a fountain. Its resonant frequency is 9,192,631,770 hertz, to be precise. That's the frequency that sets the standard for all other clocks. If you want to see just how NIST F4 works, see the link to a YouTube video in the text version of this week's news at wia.org.au. Watching it will take only 3 minutes and 3 seconds of your time. More or less. I'm John VK4JJW, clocking off.
For a good time, call 555-4WWB.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason VK2LAW.
International news is with thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, DX World, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, ICQ Podcast, IRTS, Newsline, NZART, RAC, RadioWorld.com, RSGB, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. Every year, hams in the US and Canada observe the fourth full weekend in June as Field Day, considered the most important amateur radio weekend of the year. In Hawaii, however, amateur radio recognition will be going on a little longer. The state's governor, Josh Green, has proclaimed all of June to be Amateur Radio Month in recognition of the 3,400 hams operating in the Pacific region. The state has ties to wireless that go back more than 100 years, however. In 1914, its island of Oahu became home to a Marconi wireless telegraphy station. In 1916, the first transmissions were successfully sent to Japan from the US territory, marking the start of wireless communication between the two nations. ARRL Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, TI, has 13 sessions announced in 2025, with more in the works. The program from ARRL is a donor-funded professional development program designed to help classroom teachers elevate their science, technology, engineering, and mathematics STEM programs using wireless technology. This is all possible because of the high level of confidence that our donors have in the program. We're grateful that many have stepped up to make this all possible, said ARRL Director of Development Kevin Beale, Kilo 8 Echo Alpha Lima. Through donations to the ARRL Education and Technology Program, donors have entrusted ARRL to help teachers integrate amateur radio into their curriculum. The support has been from all levels. During a YouTube telethon to benefit the program, individual hams contributed more than $21,000, which unlocked another $20,000 challenge gift from donors. David Ginsburg, November 3, Bravo Kilo Victor, funded an endowment in the name of his parents. The High and Mimi Ginsburg educator position is the first of several major gifts to the program. We're so excited that we get to grow the program this year, said ARRL Education and Learning Manager Steve Goodgame, Kilo 5 Alpha Tango Alpha. Part of that growth has involved making sessions available in local communities across the country. After a successful first remote session was held on Staten Island, another in Louisiana, the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab is hosting one later in the year. The success of the program is evident, but the lasting impact may go on even further than we can measure today, said Goodgame. Network media outlets have covered programs built by TI graduates, and there are hundreds of active hams in the schools that TI graduates lead. Recently, in material science news from China, we hear that Heilin Peng and his team at Peking University just made the world's fastest transistor, and it's not made of silicon. This new transistor from Heilin Peng and his team is a GaFET. It's made from bismuth oxyselenide, Bi2O2Se, for the channel, and bismuth selenite oxide, Bi2SeO5, as the gate material, and runs 40% faster and uses 10% less power. Next Generation DXing Program. The ARRL has published an 8-part video series about the next generation of DXing. The seminar was held April during the 76th International DX Convention. A group of panelists with deep knowledge of the current state of the art in the de-expedition world covered everything from financing and planning of a de-expedition to getting permits, arranging logistics, planning out equipment, managing both remote and local operators, dealing with problems, and much more. The latest technology being used in de-expeditions was explained in detail. The content is available on the ARRL HQ YouTube channel.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's national news service. We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with Felix, VK4FUQ.
Hello there. Now, Qantas Wise 2025. This weekend, VK Shires Qantas, 7th and 8th June. As soon as the contest is over, send in your logs. NZ Straight Key Night. Next New Zealand Straight Key Night will be held tonight, Sunday, 8 June, from 0800 hours to 0900 hours UTC on 80 metres. Polish and lubricate that old Morse key and enjoy an evening of old-time radio fun. Straight Key Night is an informal event which honours the roots of amateur radio. Morse code sent with a straight key, no bugs, side swipers, keys or keyboards. SKN honours the original amateur radio mode in an easygoing style. Operators send signal report, name, location, type of key, type of transmitter and power output. Stations are limited to 100 watts output power. SKN is not a contest, but the operator gets the most votes for the quality of their sending will win the Bruce Cahill Best First Award. This certificate honours Bruce ZL1BWG, Silent Key. He was a dedicated supporter of SKN. please email your nomination to 01NZ within 1 week following the event. VHF UHF Field Days Winter 2025, Saturday 21 June through Sunday 22 June.
This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, manager of the VHF UHF Field Days. The 2025 winter event will proceed as advertised from 0100 UTC Saturday 21st June through 0059 UTC Sunday 22nd June, except in VK6, where it opens at 0300 on the Saturday and closes at 0259 on the Sunday. Go to the VHF UHF Field Days webpage on the WIA website to download the new rules. That's right, I said new rules. A couple of important things will be new with the winter event. Firstly, contesters will now be able to choose between two logging programs, the one you've known for so long, VKCL, and N1MM, widely used across many other contests. Secondly, we'll be able to make use of the WIA online VK log checker as used with many other VK contests supported by the WIA. Thirdly, there will be no rover category. Raise a glass of your favourite beverage in honour of its passing. Responsible drinking is encouraged. They are the main new things. When you've downloaded the new rules, go to your room, not the shack, no distractions. Close the door and read through the rules carefully. At half the pace you read other things. Rinse and repeat, twice. Put them aside for 24 hours. Rinse and repeat. Use a yellow text highlighter. Take a copy with you on the field day weekend. Check the VHF UHF Field Days webpage a few times between now and the happy event. Remember, field days are for getting outdoors and having fun. This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
IAA UHF World Championship. The 24-hour IAA UHF World Championship starts at 1200 hours UTC on Saturday 12 July and ends at 1159 hours UTC on Sunday 13 July. This annual contest supports amateur self-training and radio communications, improving operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with our amateurs around the world, using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 metre bands. Trans-Tasman Low-Band Contest, 19 July. The Trans-Tasman Contest, held on the third weekend in July, aims to encourage low-band activity between VK and ZL. Only contest bands 160, 80 and 40 metres are allowed with SSB, CW and digital, RIDI or PSK. Yota Contest 2025, organised by the IAAU Region 1 Youth Working Group in cooperation with the Hungarian Amateur Radio Society. The aim of the Yota Contest is to increase youngsters' activity on the air, strengthen the reputation of the Yota program and demonstrate support for youngsters across the world. The next two sessions of this year's Yota Contest will be held 19 July 29 December. RSGB Yota Contest, July 26 to July 27, 2025. Remembrance Day Contest. This contest is held every year on the anniversary of the end of World War II, in honour of the Australian amateurs who lost their lives in wartime. This contest is unusual because the trophy goes to the Australian state or territory that scores the highest level of activity. Next contest, 16th and 17th August 2025. Now the DX window to the world, Switzerland. 4U0 ITU is a call sign for the International Amateur Radio Club at ITU HQ in Geneva, to use from the 16th of May to the end of the year, in celebration of the 160th anniversary of the International Telecommunication Union. QSL via LOTW, clublogs.qrs, or direct to IARC, PO Box 6, 1211, Geneva, 20, Switzerland. Peter, PD1RP, is celebrating the 80th anniversary since the end of the German occupation of the Netherlands during World War II. He is on the air as PD83 until the 30th of June. All QSOs will be confirmed automatically via the Bureau. Celebrating the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club's 75th anniversary, four or five special call signs have been activated by DARC until 31 October. DC7, D5D, DD7, DK7, and DR75DARC. For WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ, Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, Special Interest Group News with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first up in Worldwide Special Interest Group News this week, it's Summits on the Air, Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, Parks on the Air and other adventure groups. Be on the lookout for some YLs ascending summits for a special SOTA event. 1 year after organising their inaugural Queens of the Mountains activation, the YLs are back, and they've gone global. True to its name, the Queens of the Mountain event is a challenge worthy of royalty, and it's on now. Paula, K9IR, and Amy, AG7GP, have brought the event back for its second year as YLs activate SOTA summits on June the 7th and June 8th. And not only YLs around the world chase the activators, men are also invited to join in this year's chase. Anyone contacting five or more YLs on a SOTA summit becomes eligible for a certificate. The biggest honours will go to the YL activators themselves, who'll be logging contacts and working towards any or all of six achievement awards, including one for a first-time SOTA activator. A special K1LIZ Memorial Achievement Award will be given to the YL with the highest number of achievement awards. Last year, the event crowned Lorene W6LOR with the honour, which bears the call sign of top-achieving activator Liz Burns, K1LIZ, who became a silent key in February of 2022. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier. Never mind what Prime TV has to offer. Hams who've been missing a chance to make contacts through Ham TV will have something to celebrate soon. Ham TV was the digital amateur television transmitter operating on the Columbus module of the ISS until failure took it out of service in 2019. Its repairs back here on Earth were completed, and the newly invigorated Ham TV was returned to the ISS via SpaceX CRS-30 in March of 2024. ARIS reports that astronauts will complete its reinstallation in late June of this year in preparation for more contacts with schools around the world. Ham TV uses the DVB-S protocol in the 13-centimeter band to transmit digital video and audio in MPEG-2 format. ARIS has high hopes that Ham TV will become a long-running series without having to resort to reruns. Starfish Space is preparing to launch its second mission, Otter Pup 2, on SpaceX's upcoming Transporter 14 rideshare flight, where it will attempt to dock with a deorbit ion satellite already aboard the same launch. Unlike traditional spacecraft, Otter Pup 2 uses an electrostatic capture mechanism, allowing it to dock with unmodified satellites by attaching to flat panels. The mission aims to demonstrate rendezvous and docking technologies that will support future servicing missions, such as life extension and orbital debris inspection for both commercial and government clients. This mission will simulate the challenges of space servicing, with Otter Pup 2 travelling long distances before performing proximity operations and multiple dockings. Starfish hopes to prove its technology is safe, flexible and viable, building confidence in satellite servicing amid growing demand for regulatory interest. Time, gentlemen, time. John VK4JJW had that weird and wonderful clock story at the start of this week's news. Now some more timely news. The European Space Agency's ACES mission has launched the most precise atomic clock ever sent to space, with the goal of improving how we measure elevation on Earth. This effort addresses real-world issues like the infamous misalignment of a German-Swiss bridge caused by differing sea-level baselines. ACES was installed on the International Space Station's Columbus module on April 25 this year. By linking ACES to the most accurate ground-based clocks, scientists can compare how time ticks across the planet since time passes more slowly in stronger gravity. This allows geodesists to map Earth's gravitational field with centimeter-level precision. The clock network will eventually make elevation measurements more accurate worldwide, including in poorly surveyed regions like Africa and South America. Though ACES is just a first step, it paves the way for a future system of even more precise space-based clocks that could revolutionize infrastructure planning, sea-level monitoring, and geophysical research. Worldwide Special Interest Group's IOTA, Solo De-Expeditioner honored for 61,000 QSOs. Congratulations to Marek Lemachur, FH4VVK / F4VVJ, who logged more than 61,000 QSOs as a solo operator during a de-expedition on the island of Grande Glorios, operating as FT4GL. The island is the largest in the French-controlled Glorioso Islands archipelago in the Indian Ocean and is the seventh in the DXCC Most Wanted list. Marek was honored at Hamvention by the Southwest Ohio DX Association as De-Expeditioner of the Year. The association said that he had gone above and beyond the norm to positively affect the DX community. The de-expedition took place in May and June of 2024. The world's most isolated settled island is adding an important amateur radio presence, a reverse beacon network node. The node project is being given a supporting grant from the ESME Foundation and will be hosted by Andy Repetto, ZD9BV, on Tristan da Cunha, a British overseas territory in the South Atlantic Ocean. The reverse beacon network comprises stations in different parts of the world that monitor the bands and send reports of what and who they hear. It's an all-volunteer effort. And some IOTA reminders. ZC4RH is on the British sovereign area of Cyprus, IOTA number AS004, from the 14th through to the 20th of June using CW, SSB, FT8 and FT4 on 40 through to 6 metres. And VP8 DPD, Falkland Islands, IOTA SA002, until July the 12th on HF. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air, with Alec, VK2MV.
Thank you, Cole. On Learn DMR, Kit starts young UK hams on their journey. When you're first starting out in amateur radio, you can't borrow confidence in getting on the air as many suffer from mic fright. Now in the UK, you can borrow something that's almost just as helpful to help overcome that feeling. A new program has been created especially to help hams under the age of 18 who are just starting their radio journeys. Launched recently by the Radio Society of Great Britain, the DMR project is a way to provide opportunity and radio equipment for new young amateurs to become accustomed to making QSOs on a regular basis. The outreach team's new DMR kit contains DMR handheld transceivers and hotspots to borrow for as long as 3 months at no cost. Accompanying the equipment, of course, is the opportunity to use it. The RSGB's team will also be hosting regularly scheduled youth nets to give as many participants as possible a good start. Licensed hams or school groups with at least one licensee are eligible to apply to use the kits. Meanwhile, the Society is also encouraging teachers to establish school clubs and to become amateurs themselves. Funding from the Radio Communications Foundation will cover the cost of up to 9 teachers' exams. For WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alec. Next in Worldwide Special Interest Groups, it's Software for Hams, dxlook.com, a new real-time HF propagation map-based tool. AK6FP has been experimenting with a new tool that visualizes HF propagation in real time using live data from multiple networks, WhisperNet, Reverse Beacon Network, PSK Reporter, and various DX clusters. The result is a site designed to give amateur radio operators a visual field for current band conditions. You can filter by band, 10 meters through to 160 meters, and mode, digital, CW, SSB, and perspective grid, your QTH, and it builds a live propagation heat map around that location. It's built by AK6FP and is completely free to use. No accounts, no distractions. Just open it and explore. Check it out at dxlook.com. For WIA National News, I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
It's a date. Clubs are welcome to email, text with audio for this section to nationalnews@wia.org.au. And coming up in the calendar for the rest of the year, VK5, Adelaide Hills Amateur Radio Society Big Annual Buy and Sell, Saturday, July 19, Marion RSL. Sellers at 8:30, buyers at 10:30. The Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association 50th Anniversary at Glen Waverley, July 26. Email thepresident@alara.org for information. VK5, AREG's Amateur Radio and Electronics Sale Sunday the 26th of October at David Roche Park, Kilburn. In VK4, Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society 2025 Hamfest November 9, Country Paradise Parklands, 231 Bow Desert, Narang Road. In VK3, Rosebud Radio Fest, Eastbourne Primary School, Rosebud, November 16. And in VK8, Darwin Amateur Radio Club DARC Christmas Party, 6:30 p.m, December 3. So, where's our news chief? Well, Graham has the dreaded lurgy, so we wish him a speedy get well and back on deck soon. From the WIA news desk for this week from Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.